Nice to be with you once again today. Appreciate the fact that you've come to be with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and come with me back to the poetry department of the Bible Library for just a few moments. To the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Solomon is trying to woo the affection of a Shulamite maiden who is in love with a humble shepherd. It's a love poem. And in the midst of this beautiful love poem in chapter 2 and in verse 8 beginning, we read these words. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. That's the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. I'm capitalizing on the statement in verse 15 when he talks about the little foxes that spoil the vines. If you have your own Bible, you might like to underscore that statement. One translation says, catch the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. One commentator observed, foxes, jackals, little foxes are very common in Palestine and are particularly fond of grapes. They burrow in holes and hedges round the gardens, and unless strictly watched, would destroy whole vineyards. In this lesson, I'm making spiritual application of this statement, little foxes that spoil the vines. If you were in Palestine, you would recognize that a vineyard was a thing of great value. And little foxes represent things that would pose a threat that could potentially wreak havoc on that which is of great value, the vines. Now, there's lots of different ways we could go in this particular study. We could talk about lots of things of great value and little things that pose a threat to those. We could talk about, for example, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus discussed the importance of laying up treasure in heaven. When it comes to earthly treasure, that which is of value to you, moth and rust will be little foxes that pose a threat to your earthly treasure. We could talk about the fact that when it comes to the period of courtship between a male and a female, that's a beautiful, valuable thing. And how that can be destroyed by little foxes. Little foxes can wreak havoc as well upon a marriage relationship. Marriage is a thing of great value. How the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 4 said, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. We need to identify in our relationship as husbands and wives little foxes that can wreak havoc upon this divine relationship. Oftentimes, it's little things that can make the difference between the success and failure of a marriage. Little things, given enough time, can increase unto a multitude. Like when Jacob and Laban talked about his wages. He said in Genesis 30 and verse 30, it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And so little things over time can increase unto a multitude. And there are marriages that have ended up in the divorce courts because over time little things have increased unto a multitude. The church would be a thing of great value. And the church needs to recognize little foxes, things that pose a threat to the church. We take preventive measures, don't we, to protect things of value from anything that could harm it. Your soul is of great value. It's worth more than the whole world. As Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Need to identify little things that threaten the soul. Little things, if not caught and captured, can spoil things of value. Sometimes folks minimize that by thinking, well, that's just a little thing. But little things often have great significance. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 24, it is written, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they're exceeding wise. The ants are a people, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. Little things, like these four things, which are little upon the earth, can help us to be great in our wisdom. Positively, little things can have great value. Who would discount the significance of a little water? A little water was used by Abram to extend great hospitality. In Genesis 18 and verse 4, when he said, let a little water, I pray you be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. It was a little water that Abraham's servant would identify the wife selected by the Lord for his master's son. When in Genesis 24 and verse 14, he prayed, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant, Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And in verse 17, the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And so a little water went a long way in this story, didn't it? In Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 42, you're probably familiar with just a cup of cold water. There's a song that employs that language. Room in God's kingdom for the small things, the little things that you can do. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. When you think about the value of little things, what about the value of a little coat that his mother made him? Remember his name? Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 19, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Think of what a little coat meant to this young fella. Or you might think of a little oil in a cruse in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 12. That was used by the Lord to sustain a widow as well as this man of God. I think of a little chamber that was used in demonstrating hospitality toward Elisha in 2 Kings 4 and verse 10, when the woman said to her husband, I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let's make him a little chamber and set for him there a bed and a table and a candlestick. Would you have done that? Little things that could go a long way in helping men of God in their work. In the story of Naaman, in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 5. You know who is a central character? We don't even know her name. She's identified as a little maid. 2 Kings 5 and verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." It was at the suggestion of this little maid that the road to recovery began. Or you might think of a few little fishes that were used by the Lord to feed a multitude in Matthew 15 and in verse 34. And so little things can have a positive impact. But in our study, I'm focusing on little things, like little foxes, from a negative standpoint that can be destructive and harmful. Sometimes it's little things that we need to call attention to in our lives that can pose great threat to us. I'm capitalizing on this word little as we talk about little foxes. The first little fox I want to talk to us about is a little idleness. As a little fox can spoil a vineyard, a little idleness can spoil us today. The wise man talked about that in the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. He said, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Notice in verse 10, he talks about a little sleep, a little slumber. Oh, he's not condemning sleep. No, in fact, he would talk about the sleep of a laboring man is precious. But he's talking about idleness, a little idleness, how that can lead to poverty. In Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30, he said, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding." How'd you find that? He said, "Lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down." Not a pretty picture, is it? "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." What'd you learn from that? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. See where a little idleness leads? All grown over with thorns and nettles, stone wall broken down. The seeds sown by idleness. You see, in this book, we have contrasted slothfulness with diligence, laziness with industry. In Proverbs 19 and verse 15, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." In chapter 20 and verse 4, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold," too cold to plow. "Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." In chapter 23 and verse 21, it is written, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty," listen, "and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Compare that with what the Bible says about the diligent, the industrious. Like in Proverbs 10 and verse 4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." In chapter 13 and in verse 4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." And so I'd ask myself the question. You might ask yourself the question. Sluggish or diligent? Which am I? Little foxes that spoil the vines. How about a little sleep, a little slumber, being a little fox? That can spoil us. But also, as we make application of that, I take us to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, and verse 1, wherein the writer said, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor." You see, the ointment of the apothecary is something of great value. A dead fly is a little fox, if you will, that throws a bad stink into the savor. Now, how's he using that? Dead flies in an ointment. "So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." And so what's the little fox in this passage that spoiled the vine? How about a little folly? A little folly can wreak havoc upon good reputation. Here's a person that has a good reputation. They're reported as being a wise person. And they're held in honor. It doesn't take much, just something little. A little folly for that to be ruined. And so a little folly is a little fox that spoils the vine. In his quest to find the meaning and purpose of life, Solomon gave his heart to no folly. In Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 17, he said, "I gave my heart to no wisdom and to no madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit." In chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, "I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life." Down in verse 12, he continues, "I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done?" In chapter 7 and in verse 25, he says, "I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and to the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness." Notice he spoke of the wickedness of folly associated with foolishness and madness. A little foolishness, a little wickedness, a little folly is a little fox that can spoil the vine. By way of contrast, in Ecclesiastes 2 and in verse 13, he saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. Our good reputation is something to be protected. And we need to identify little foxes that pose a threat to this that is of great value. Like a little folly. I'll tell you something else, though, that you might think of in connection with this. Little foxes that spoil the vines. How about a little faith? We find throughout the New Testament where the Lord rebuked people for being of little faith. Faith is important. Without it, you can't please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without it, you'll die in your sins. John 8 and verse 24. But there are different levels of faith, different kinds of faith. I read where there's great faith, there's strong faith, there's growing faith. But then in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 30, the Lord said, "O ye of little faith." That's those who would worry and fret over the physical, temporal things of life. In Matthew 8, when the Lord's disciples were sailing a tempest-tossed sea, they said, "Lord, save us, we perish." He said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Matthew 8 and verse 26. Remember when the Lord's disciple Peter got out of the boat to walk on water over to the Lord? And he beginning to sink, cried, saying, "Lord, save me." In the book of Matthew 14 and verse 31, the Lord said, "O thou of little faith." Somebody might think, "Well, I have faith." But did you know that your faith not being what it ought to be, just little faith, can pose a great threat to you spiritually and cause you to sink in ways that you might not imagine? And so, little faith can be a little fox that spoiled the vine. But also, how about a little love? In the book of Luke chapter 7, we have recorded a good story. It's when the Lord is dining at a Pharisee's house, and there was a woman identified as a sinful woman who stood at Jesus' feet, behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. The Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Kindly a holier-than-thou attitude. Jesus said, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." He said, "Master, say on." He told about the creditors. He said, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." The Lord said, "Thou hast rightly judged." He turned to the woman, said, "Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." How many times are we like the self-righteous Pharisee, when we ought to be like this woman? She had a great love, didn't she? Sometimes our love isn't as great as it ought to be. It's little. And little love is a little fox that spoils the vine. Our love for the Lord, our love for His Word, our love for one another ought to be great. In fact, we ought to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And we ought to love one another as Christ loved us. I'll tell you another thing, though, that I thought of when I began to explore this statement. Little foxes that spoil the vines. How about a little leaven? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul wrote to the church, he said, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." He said in verse 2, "You're puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." Verse 6, he says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not," or don't you know, "that a little leaven," what's a little leaven do? It leaveneth the whole lump. You take a little yeast, put it in your dough, and the whole thing becomes leavened. It's no longer unleavened bread, it's leaven. That's what causes it to rise. That's the way it is with the church, with sin. Just a little sin. Just a person or two right here, like we have involved. What'd that do? That would infiltrate the whole church. And so you see how a little leaven is a little fox that can spoil the vine? The whole church can be spoiled through a little leaven. Also in connection with that, in Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 9, Paul said, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Somebody said, "Well, that's a little false teaching. Just a little false doctrine. Just a little." Don't underestimate the significance that little things can have. So I said, it's just a little fox. That little fox can spoil the vine. And a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. And then finally today, as you think about little foxes, how about the tongue as a little member? What about this little member? What can it do? Read the book of James in chapter 3 to find out. When James said in verse 2, "If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue, listen, is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Just like a little fox can spoil the vine, this little member can defile the whole body. He talked about the tongue as a fire, just a little fire. Oh, it has the potential for good. A little fire can warm your body and cook your food. But a little fire can also become very destructive. It can set millions of acres ablazing. Destroy homes and people's lives, can't it? Just a little fire. That's just a little fire. Just a little fox. Just a little word. Just a little phrase. Just a little statement. That's why we sing angry words. Oh, let them never. He talks about the tongue in size comparison to the body. How small, how little it is. Like the helm of a ship. Think about a big ship, like a cruise ship. Maneuvered about by a very small helm. Has great power. Or a bit in a horse's mouth. Think of a big horse, like a draft horse. And here you have a bit. And that bit controls that beast. It shows that the tongue has mammoth power. And so we need to be careful as to the use that we make of it. There's the potential for good, but there's also the potential for much harm. Just like the mouth is like a bow and arrow, a sharp sword. Those things cut and pierce, and we need to be careful how we use them. And so when you think about the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in that love poem, mentions little foxes that spoil the vines. It has lots of application in lots of different ways, doesn't it? If you were the owner of a vineyard, you'd take great concern over little foxes because they could ruin your vineyard. You wouldn't underestimate the havoc that could be wreaked by one little fox. How many of us, from a spiritual standpoint, need to identify some little foxes that are working on us? That would cause us to be spoiled. The Lord is the vine and we are branches. And it's vital that we maintain that relationship so as to be productive, to be fruitful. We cannot allow the winds of opposition to come and cause us to break off. You may have noticed a lot of limbs and branches down because of the winds that came through yesterday through this area. Well, if they were alive before they broke off, they're not going to live much longer, are they? They're dead now. That's the way we will be if we allow something like a little fox to cause us to become disconnected from the vine. We'll be, as the Lord said, good for nothing but to be cast into the fire. And so we must not allow anything to cause us to become separated from our Lord. Is it possible that there's some little fox that's spoiling you? Need to identify that and catch that fox, lest it spoil the vine. That's the lesson for this afternoon. Hope it's of practical help to each one of us. Maybe that you're not yet a Christian, a child of God, and all things are ready. We'd be happy to baptize you, having believed with all of your heart to turn from your sins and the confession of your faith. If you obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful, maybe little foxes have done some great and harmful things to you. It's increasing unto a multitude. And you need to catch that. You need some help catching that fox. We're here to help you catch the foxes. As together we stand and sing, won't you come?